been listening to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Ion Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
And welcome back. Peter Greenberg here as Ion Travel continues from San Juan, Puerto Rico. You know the drill. You can email me, Peter Greenberg, with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Let's go right to the mailbox. Here's one from Barbara who writes, I had not flown in several years. I flew to D.C. last week for a graduation. I picked up several Lindt chocolate bars to have with me to give to the flight crew. How nice, Barbara. It was difficult to give it to them when boarding, but I gave it to them as I left the plane. And then when I was returning home, there was a several-hour delay waiting for our plane to arrive from Scotland. I had time to stop at a drugstore and buy several more bars of chocolate. I was able to give a couple out while boarding. As I left, one of the attendants thanked me as I was getting off. I was almost last as I was in no hurry. I had a chance then to ask what other crew there was and gave the other bars to them. Barbara, I want to fly with you. Do I have to dress up as a flight attendant to get chocolate? Hey, listen, Barbara has a very interesting point here. People don't realize how hard that job is, being a flight attendant. You're on your feet all day long. You're dealing with angry passengers that have nothing to do with what you did, but maybe what the airline did, or what they feel the airport did, or what they felt the taxi driver did before they ever got on the airplane. And it's always a nice idea. By the way, I extend this to gate agents and counter agents. We're not talking outright bribery here, but a nice chocolate bar doesn't sound like such a bad idea. So, Barbara, thank you. Thank you for doing that. I really appreciate that. All right, here's one from Eric who writes, my wife and I booked many of our trips via Expedia with no problems. Last week on our return trip to Chicago from Prague, we had a problem. A few weeks after we booked the hotel flight package, Expedia alerted us that there were flight changes which were made on their end. One being that our return home in the last leg was changed from Prague to Helsinki to Prague to Heathrow. For our return home, we tried to check in via the British Airways and we couldn't. We got a message that we had to check in at the counter. No reason given as why. Well, here's the real problem. When you make a booking on a third-party website, otherwise known as an OTA, right, an online travel agency, and then they change details, or even if they don't change details, it's very difficult to then check in for your flight, in many cases, using the airline app. You may have to do that really at the counter. And there's your problem. Sometimes they don't get the information. But let me continue with Eric's letter. When we arrived at the counter, the agent said there was no ticket for us. As we booked from Expedia, he couldn't do anything on his end. We contacted Expedia by phone, had to speak to multiple people. I'm amazed. Listen, when you have to call an online travel agency by phone, you have to talk to a lot of people to get to a lot of people. The end of the story is they finally admitted that they blew it, according to Eric. And they got them an overnight hotel room in Marriott. They had to come back via Frankfurt. I mean, it's a mess. And of course, the question from Eric is, besides the hotel room being paid by Expedia, are we entitled to any other compensation? We kept receipts from our meals during our extended stay. Are they required to pay for your meals? No, they're not. But you know what? They should. They should be paying for a number of things. Luckily, we planned to return to O'Hare on Saturday night. Instead, we returned to Chicago 25 hours later. Yes, but you know what, Eric? How much is your time worth to you? And they admitted they screwed up. So here's my question. You talked to a number of people at Expedia. Do you remember their first and last name and title? Did you confirm anything in writing to them? There's the issue. If you really want to pursue this any further, you need a good paper trail. Do you have one? And I say this to all of my listeners. When something goes wrong, you better start creating a paper trail. And by the way, even when something goes right, I have a paper trail. If somebody tells you, hey, guess what? You now have a confirmed room. I write them an email right after that, because, of course, I ask them for their email address. And I confirm the conversation and thank them. Right? I keep both of those emails with me. And then if there's a problem, I have something to show for it. All you have is a conversation, and there's one more thing you should have done. Once they told you you're going via British Airways in London, what would stop you from calling British Airways and asking for your PNR? That stands for passenger name record. It's on every ticket you have. It's usually a six digit or six letter and digit code that's generated by the airline that tells you that you actually have a confirmed reservation. Everybody listening here, don't go anywhere without getting that confirmation number or the PNR on any ticket or in any flight you happen to be. That's your get out of jail free card if they tell you there's no seat or no flight. It's in their system that they actually booked it under your name on the time, date, and airline that you said you booked it on. Otherwise, it's your word against theirs in a foreign airport where they don't know your name and they don't know your history. And guess what happens? Consider yourself lucky that somebody actually paid for your hotel room. But what I suggest now is email me, again, peter@petergreenberg.com, if you have that paper trail, meaning the flight number, the confirmation number, who you spoke to at Expedia, what really happened, how much money you were out for meals, did you have to do any laundry or whatever, ground transportation to other hotels, you name it, send me that. And as long as you have that paper trail, I'll help you get to the right people at Expedia, because in my book, I think you are due some compensation because they clearly dropped the ball and you had to pay for it. You lost a whole day. How much is your time worth to you? That's the real question here. By the way, that's a rhetorical question, Eric. I hope it's worth a lot, right? I mean, be reasonable here, but they do owe you something. At least that's what I think. But they're not going to give you anything unless you have the paper and the documentation to prove it. All right? You got it. That music means you're out of time for this hour, but stick around, everybody. We have a whole lot more coming as Eye on Travel continues from San Juan right after this.
You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production. With reporting from around the world, it's time for Eye on Travel with America's number one frontline travel news journalist, Peter Greenberg. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, Peter Greenberg.
This segment of Eye on Travel is brought to you by Viking, exploring the world in comfort. Hi, everybody. Peter Greenberg here. If you're just joining us, we're back with more of Eye on Travel for this last weekend of June 2023. And if you are just joining us, get out those maps. Let me tell you where we are. 18 degrees, 27 minutes north, 66 degrees, 6 minutes west. We're in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And of course, you can always reach me. You know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it on the air. We're continuing to cover the story in the wake of the tragic aftermath and the catastrophic implosion of the Titan deep-sea submersible. Too many unanswered questions right now, and many more questions that need to be asked in the days, weeks, and months ahead. As I said at the opening of the show, I've been on deep-sea submersibles. It was an amazing experience. In my case, I dove down to the bottom of Lake Huron. Our sub was capable of diving up to 1,300 feet, pretty deep, nowhere near as deep as the sub in Nova Scotia. One of the things that the investigators are going to be looking at as they begin to recover the remains from the debris field is how this sub was equipped and were any of the safety devices implemented or activated by the crew, or was it just a sudden and rapid implosion? On the sub I was on, it was equipped with something that every sub should have, that if you lost contact with the surface for more than 10 minutes, it would automatically trigger a resurfacing operation all on its own, and you'd come up to the surface. On the sub that we're talking about, the Titan, it carried extra ballast tanks to give it weight to be able to do the dive, but it was also equipped to be able to jettison those ballast tanks to effect an immediate surface. Where are those ballast tanks? Were they ever jettisoned? Did the crew ever have a chance to go to the surface if they detected a problem? Or was this so sudden and so severe that they had no chance at all? They'll be inspecting the materials on board, the fastenings, the hatches, the oxygen supply, the power, lithium-ion batteries, and so many other things. And as they do that, I'll be on top of that story and I'll report back to you. It's going to be a continuing story that it's not going to end anytime soon. Fascinating and at the same time, tragic. So stick around on that. But as I said, you can always reach me, peter@petergreenberg.com. Send me your email. I'll answer it. And towards that end, guess what? Let's go to some of your emails right now. Here's one from John who says, I am curious what you do with my question. I am interested in about a year to take my family on a flight to Hawaii and find a great hotel that is not too expensive for 4 or 5 days. Should I take a flight from the West Coast to Hawaii or take a long cruise from the West Coast to Hawaii? What is the best and cheapest way to do this? Flying or taking a cruise or you know, what can you do? Well, first of all, do you know how long, you said it was a long cruise to Hawaii. It's not. It's about 4 or 5 days. That's how long it takes to make a crossing. You're heading due south, by the way, or not due south, but very much southwest. And many of the cruises will offer you deals because most cruise ships don't do regular cruises to Hawaii. They're repositioning cruises where they're moving the ship to Asia or they're moving the ship from Asia back to the United States. It happens every year in the Mediterranean, between the Mediterranean and Fort Lauderdale, and of course between Florida and the Mexican Riviera, and of course the coast up and down California to Alaska. So if you want to book a repositioning cruise, you can get cabins for as low as about $63 a night. Because remember, the reason why the cabins are so cheap, they have to move the ship anyway. So that may be the way to do it. But then again, you also asked where I can get a hotel that's not too expensive for 4 or 5 days in Hawaii. The answer right now is, I don't think you can. Hawaii is very expensive. Be aware of that, number one. Number two, if you can work out a deal with a cruise ship, just stay on the ship. That might actually work out better. But if you're asking if you want to take a 4 or 5 day cruise to Hawaii, I would do it, although I'll give you one other caveat. And it's the other one was, you know, cool because of the price. The caveat I'm going to give you, that crossing between California and Hawaii can often be very, very rough. Just letting you know. All right. But good luck with that. And if I had a chance to take a repositioning cruise, I would do it tomorrow. All right. Here's one. Who just wrote me this one? Let me see who that was. Alan just said, I'm flying on EasyJet from Belfast. And it arrives at 9:20 a.m. in Edinburgh on a Thursday. I have to get our checked bags to the Delta counter for a 12:05 p.m. departure. Delta claims the minimum check-in time is 1 hour. Will this work? Is it the same terminal? Never been there before. Okay. The airport in Edinburgh is not that big. And my answer to you is, as long as your EasyJet flight is on time, you're going to have to take your bags to Delta. They will not interline them. It's not what these low-cost carriers do. So you can't just check in for your flight on EasyJet, show them your Delta ticket, and have them tag it all the way through. So what you need to do is, yes, get your bags. They won't be that long getting out because EasyJet doesn't fly very big planes. They're flying mostly 737s. And then walk the bags over to Delta. You'll be in plenty of time. You're going to have to do it anyway for another reason. Because it's a different terminal, right? You're coming in essentially on a domestic flight and you're transferring to an international flight, which means you have to go through different security procedures because you're coming back to the United States. They usually designate almost every flight coming back to the United States as a higher security threat matrix flight. That just means you're going to have to go through security again and, you know, be careful, all right? When I say be careful, it's not be careful of what you think I'm saying. It's be careful of retailers who don't disclose, right? In many cases, and I've seen this happen in Lisbon. I've seen it happen in Istanbul. You'll go through a different security, but on the way to security, you've already cleared the airport, right? Now you go through security. Now you clear security, and there's a retail store there, and you want to buy a bottle of water or a ginger ale or whatever, and then you get to the gate, and there's additional security because it's a U.S. flight, and they want to make you open up all your bags. And what do? They make you take out your soda or your bottle of water and throw it out. Now, do you think the retailers know this? Of course they do. So my suggestion is, at some of these airports, if you're connecting or going through security to get to a U.S.-bound flight, ask, will there be secondary security for the liquids? And if the answer is yes, do not buy it. There's nowhere you're going to get on the plane. Right? I mean, they should put a stop to this because they clearly know there are no secrets here, that they're selling you something that you can't use. By the way, that also, in my book, borders on the definition of fraud. It's just the bottom line. So remember that. Okay, but the answer to your question is, you'll have, unless the original flight is late, on EasyJet, you have plenty of time to make that connection in Edinburgh. Although, what flight is on time these days? That's the other problem. You know, by the way, speaking of on time, The U.S. Department of Transportation Office of Consumer Affairs publishes a monthly report on on-time performance based on flight numbers and routes, and it's open to the public. So before you book a flight or a flight number, go to the USDOT and get that report, and you'll find out if your flight that you want is late how many percentage of the time. And if it's late more than 38% of the time, don't take it, because you know what that means. That'll be the flight that you're on. So be careful about that. All right, stick around. When we come back, we're talking about the problems, the plight, and the promise of travel advisors right after this.
Your flight might be late, but we're on time. Eye on Travel. We'll be right back.